and welcome to How to Make a Memory, the show that explores the items we make for one another and how they impact our relationships. My name is Jen Tierney, and this week, Rachel makes her third appearance on the podcast to talk about her garden. In many ways, it looks like a fairly average garden, but the story behind its creation and the role that it plays in Rachel's life prove that it is anything but ordinary. Rachel has a practical and very present approach to living. It's one of the things that makes her such a good friend. This frame of mind allows her to provide great perspective to me and the other young parents that we know. You'll get to hear some of that in the way she talks about her garden and the space that she has created for her family and friends to play, relax, and be together in. So, Rachel, you're back.
Hello.
Hi. So, I was thinking about you this past weekend because I was out in my yard surveying the landscape. So I was thinking about you because all of the things that you gave me last year
are good.
They've come up. Good. They're starting to grow. I'm stoked. So since it's gardening time, it's springtime, it's so lovely, everybody's gardening. So I thought this would be a perfect time for you to come and talk about your garden.
It's a work in progress.
A spectacular work in progress.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not a very spectacular garden that maybe we can post a picture of.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see what just a normal garden looks like.
Yeah.
That I enjoy fiddling around in. But really what I like about the garden is take pieces of people and people that I love and care about and have them in my yard for me to see. I don't buy a lot of new plants. I went through a phase where when we first moved in and I bought like any discount plant Lowe's would sell me and tried to nurse it and like tried to get it to fill space, and that worked out pretty well actually. But what I much prefer is splitting plants with people, mm-hmm. and taking part of their garden and having their garden with you and thinking about those people when I'm in my garden.
And now
my garden is, we've been in the house for 5 years, so this will be its sixth summer. So it's, mm-hmm. it's getting to the point like last year where I need to split stuff and get rid of things.
Yeah.
Find new homes, and I don't want that more garden in my yard.
Yes. Yeah. So at this point, I've got some of your garden, mm-hmm. and I've got my former landlord, Steve, gave me some things, and I gave him some things, which was nice. Unfortunately, they're now moving to a new home, so, and they have, talk about spectacular gardens.
Garden.
He had, like, they called it their secret garden. Mm. It had, like, the 9 rooms in feng shui in the backyard. They had, like, a hot tub, a place to sit, a waterfall with a water wheel that Joe and I made.
Yeah, that's different than
it
my
garden.
It
was, like, wild. Yeah, this was, like, a very spectacular garden. You have a normal garden that is
garden.
Very delightful, like, because it has so much uniqueness to it.
Did you get any stuff with your house? Like, do you have stuff, original stuff in your garden?
I have a couple things. The woman who owned this place before us, every single flower, every single plant blooms purple. Everything.
Ruby would love it.
Yeah, it was just a purple all year long, which was fine. I like purple, but I wanted more than just purple.
Some variety.
And also, the front yard is full sun. Like, it's always sunny in the front yard. And she had planted some things that are shade-loving plants. They're not things that you would typically...
They burn out?
Yeah. No, not that they burned out. They would. So she put in, like, these big holly bushes. Like, big, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that it was from that time when people would put those kind of like unpleasant bushes under windows of children so that people wouldn't climb into your windows. So I think that that's why they were there. And one weekend I asked Steve to come over and we ripped them out of the ground. And a few days later, she stopped by the house to drop off like some random thing that really didn't matter. And she was like, she didn't say anything, but I think she was real mad that I ripped out her plants, her, like, giant bushes. But they didn't, I don't know. She also had thorn bushes on either side of the front door. And I was like, this is not welcoming. So ripped those out. And instead, I've put in things that are nice and lush and welcoming and love the...
Soft.
Yeah, soft stuff. And I put in, like, a vegetable garden in the front because it's full sun. And that's, you know, that is what makes sense to me. So I've kept some things because she has beautiful things along the front of the house that come up every spring. These really beautiful I'll have to show them to you when they come up, but they're like purple tulips, but the petals are like jagged, like knives. They're beautiful. So there are some things that are really cool. And then there are other things that are like, there's a rose bush in the backyard in a completely shaded area. So it never blooms. It doesn't do anything because it's
doesn't get the sun it needs.
So it's sort of like a funky garden where I don't know that she put everything in the exact right place. She probably had reasons for putting everything where she put them. So I've done a lot to it.
So you had some.
Yes.
And you've added a lot to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had very little. My main garden in the front of my house, the mm-hmm. only full sun, it's not even really full sun, full-ish sun that my yard gets, was grass.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so it's like a 10-foot, not square, mostly triangle, like the biggest side would be like 10 feet. So it's small and it was grass. And I was like, why do you mow this? Like, just make it dirt if it's nothing else. And so that was my first venture, was like filling that in. And that's what I worked on the first summer. But I kept everything that came with the house, just moved some things.
Okay.
So everything that was there is still there, but we didn't have a lot.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a, I was blessed with a magnolia tree, which looks beautiful right now. Mm-hmm. And mature. This is what happens when you have babies. They just take part of your brain.
I know.
They're pretty pink flowers with all the little flowers and the leaves like this. They're evergreen.
Rhododendron?
Yes.
Yes, that's it.
Ding, ding, ding. So what happened, like, I have beautiful mature rhododendrons that sit like right in the front and give us some privacy from the road and my neighbors. And so that's where we spend a lot of our time in the yard. Mm-hmm. And in that corner that I think there might be like four rhododendrons. Mm-hmm. And then there was an empty space and then a small rhododendron.
Okay.
And I don't know if one died, so they replaced it and it hadn't grown in yet. Or if like one died, there was a hole, like the dead one was there. So after we had the house for a couple months, my mom was here and she was like, let's just move that rhododendron.
Wow.
I mean, it is still alive. I will say it's still alive, but it was on life support for a while. Yeah. So I went down the rabbit hole of Googling how to care for rhododendrons and saw that turns out people have a lot of opinions and
it's like a whole rhododendron society.
It's a thing,
yeah.
And so then my mom came up and helped me move that rhododendron. Mm-hmm. That was part of a large, like maybe the first time she came up after about the house and she brought like a carload of plants from like my childhood home, like her house, and put in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back that summer and got some more stuff. And so a lot of the stuff that I have in my yard and my mom gardened always.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big part of my childhood was her and her gardens and putting in more gardens and moving things. And she has a greenhouse. And so she was pretty helpful when we bought the house about like where to put things and how, like understanding how much light things need and all that stuff. So the next year I went home and my aunt was selling her house that she probably lived in it for close to 30 years, maybe a little more. And her front garden is my front garden. Like it's the exact same thing, except it's like in the city in Pittsburgh. So that's all it has. Whereas my yard has some room to breathe. Hers was like a 10-foot square with her house immediately behind it. Her neighbor's 10-foot square is right next to it.
Goodness.
And so she cleared out her garden before she sold the house. Mm. She's like, whoever gets this house is just going to kill everything and not care about it. And
good for her.
Yeah. So she took, say, like she lives in an apartment now and her backyard was like maybe 10 by 20. Mm-hmm. So it was deeper, but at the same sort of like saturation of plants. Yeah. And so I have a lot of stuff and a lot of stuff I gave you was actually from her garden.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Which I really like.
Yeah.
And this is the first year that I got a lilac bush, which I love. And that's what you have out in your front.
Yeah, I have a lot of lilacs.
Because we don't have any sun.
Mm-hmm.
Lilacs need sun. I got one from a dear friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went over to her house. I got lilacs and fancy hostas from her. And I went on my scooter. And I don't remember if that was like intentional or if like I didn't understand like how much plant I was getting.
Yeah.
And so like I still remember her like standing in her driveway and like trying to like let her take me home because I have like my scooter looks like a Vespa kind of like it's a small motorcycle thing. And so like between my legs I have a giant I mean, it's small. It's a small lilac, yeah. But like on a scooter, yeah. It's giant.
Yeah.
And then like off both handlebars, I have plastic bags of hostas.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives like 10 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
So the whole drive is just like, all the
oh my God.
But I put that in, I think, 4 years ago. And okay. This is the first year it's going to bloom.
That's good.
Yeah. So wow. I wasn't sure that it was actually going to bloom, that yeah. It was getting enough sun. It's in my front yard, like snuck right against mm-hmm. my porch.
Mm-hmm.
But it has flowers on it for the
That's
first
good.
Time.
Yeah.
So I am very excited. And yeah. I think of her as she died a couple years ago. Oh. And I love that I have that plant from her. Yeah. And I was like, I'm really excited because it's going to blossom this year. Like the year mm-hmm. she died in February. And that spring, I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to take a picture of my daughter, me, in front of this lilac bush and send yeah. it to her parents. And it hasn't bloomed. And oh, I was like, well, your oh. parents know I have it. And like, it's very sweet.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's kind of a sad thing anyways. But like, then it's like a real sad picture. But I'm like, here's my daughter in front of this leafy green. Isn't that sweet? No.
No. Oh my
God. So I like when I saw the blooms on it, I'm like, her dad will really like to get a picture of us and know that her lilacs are still here. Yeah. And I think about her all the time.
Yeah.
And my aunt's the same way because I don't see her very often.
Mm.
And that's what I love about a garden is a lot of the crafty things I do are mine.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I give them away, or maybe I learn something from somebody mm-hmm. else. But there aren't things that I make with pieces of other people in them,
mm-hmm.
quite like the garden does. Yeah. And I really like that. And I really like thinking about, like, you're talking about your house and the woman, why did you plant this here? And I don't quite understand. And mm-hmm. it's really interesting to come into someone else's project.
Yeah.
Whereas that doesn't happen with my other crafty projects. Like, mm-hmm. here's something somebody half made. Now finish it. No, yeah. thank you. Like, that's weird. But the garden is like that.
Yeah, it is.
And it'll continue to be like that mm-hmm. because things will wreck it.
Yeah.
I lost a lot last winter. I lost a couple large bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got like small evergreens in my front.
Mm-hmm.
And like right up against the house, I have two of my own.
Yeah.
Dwarf evergreens and things. Yeah. And they're like dying from the bottom up.
Mm.
Just fine. Like they're very large and
yeah.
I want them gone. But I don't know how to put something in there because it's the back of the garden and it's very large.
Yeah.
I also like that it's constantly evolving and you're never...
Yeah, it's never done. Yeah.
I think fancy people are done and like pay a landscaper to come yeah. in and be like, just that's do this different. And just let it...
Yeah. That's not our kind of garden.
No.
That's like a Tudor garden.
That's not my garden.
Yeah, when you were talking about the lilac tree, mm-hmm. it reminded me that there are certain things that I have in my garden that, unintentionally or not, sometimes it's very intentional. I've put there because of someone. And the most obvious one, I don't know if I mentioned this to you last year, but last year I planted so many sunflowers.
Yes.
And partially it was because I think they're beautiful and also they provide nice screening from the road because yes. we live on a really busy road. But every year for the last like 5 or 6 years, I've found myself buying a lot of sunflowers because they were my friend Carrie's favorite flowers. Mm. And she passed away, I don't know, it must be 7 or 8 years ago now. And so instead of buying sunflowers now, I just plant a whole mess of them. Mm-hmm. And then I get to enjoy them all summer long because they bloom so early and last so long.
Yeah. And people our age, I find that gardening is not something that is like appreciated.
Yeah.
I have two vegetable gardens, mm-hmm. a large one that is kind of fenced in and a small one that and there are a bunch of strawberries in that I don't care about and... I don't have any patience for pests taking over my garden. Once they get in, I'm like, have it. I don't care. And so that is this little strawberry garden. That's now Ruby's garden.
Mm, perfect.
So she just like tromps around in it
mm-hmm.
and waters things. And we planted peas and like we planted peas with a neighbor a couple weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. And he's never planted a seed before.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like he was so into it. And so we're really looking forward to it. Next time we see him because the peas have come up.
Yeah.
Showing him the peas and then like having peas with him in the summer. And like I really enjoy because I think I have so firmly cemented the garden with like older generations and like mm-hmm. my older family thinking about the gardening with the younger generation and younger people and how that mm-hmm. how that works. Because I feel like Yeah, we just don't garden as much.
Yeah.
Because it's a leisure thing.
And yeah, it's become more of a leisure thing, yeah.
It's not, the vegetable garden is useful.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the other crafty things we talked about are useful. But for me, the garden in my yard, not the vegetable garden, just the pretty garden, makes my yard a really nice, comfortable place to hang out. And so, like, maybe we never talk about that, and maybe no one even identifies that. But I think it makes the yard nice, and people want to be there.
Yeah.
And so I'll always keep doing that. I'm not going to be as into it as my mother was. But the vegetable garden, I think the kids are really into, and it's super fun. And
yeah.
Ruby waters the garden every day, all the time.
Fantastic.
I don't know, man.
I'd say it's in the top three reasons why I wanted to have a garden here was because I wanted to have something to do with the kids. This year, Emma helped me turn over the garden. That's easy enough. But that was a really big thing for me, was this idea of, okay, we're going to go out and pick all these things. Last year, she stood with like the colander, and I picked all the things and put them in, and then she carried them into the house and we washed them together. And this year, when I got everything into the ground, then I gave her the hose and she watered everything. And, you know, so it's, and it also, I think, gives them a much clearer understanding of food.
Yeah.
How does it get made? Where does it come from? And so Emma says that she doesn't like tomatoes. She says that all the time to me. I'm like, oh, there's tomatoes in this. And she said, I don't like tomatoes. You like tomato sauce. You like there are all these different things that you like that have tomatoes in them. I think you do like tomatoes. And I think this summer when I have cherry tomatoes that come up and I give her one, I think we're going to have a completely different relationship with tomatoes. And if she doesn't like them, that's fine. But she'll have seen how they grow, and then she can pick them. And, you know, like, we have strawberries in the front yard and she's like nuts about them. Yes. We only got like 10 strawberries last year, but she loved every one of those strawberries.
You heavily protect yours. Maybe I'll protect mine this year and see if I get more into it.
Yeah, I'm real. Like, my garden this year, I completely covered in netting.
It's a lot of layers of netting.
It is. I'm very serious about, because it's such a small garden, I only have like 20 plants in it. So those 20 plants are going to be safe. No little critters are getting at them. Yes. So yeah, I think that it's a nice way to sort of lengthen the full process of food for the kids more than anything else. That, like, instead of just cooking the food, now we're like, we're planting the food, we're picking the food, we're cleaning the food, we're cooking the food, we're eating the food, you know? And so it's this nice way to kind of make that a full process, which is sort of like where I am in my crafty world. I'm like, I want to try to start to finish all the things. Yeah. And so I think with gardening, that's one of the ones that I can actually be pretty successful with. Whereas some of them, like, no, there's a reason why somebody specializes in doing this part of the process.
You can do it with the vegetable garden.
Yeah, I think so. So, I don't know. I've never thought to myself that I wanted to have nice, pretty flowers or pretty trees. Oh. That was never something that I didn't grow up with that, really. It was in our house in New Jersey. It was just woods surrounding our house. And then the front yard, we just had these big patches of pachysandra. And that was it, really. We had a really pretty dogwood tree and some other things. But, like, what I really remember from our yard was, like, this tons of pachysandra.
Yes.
It had never occurred to me, like, oh, I can just plant a whole mess of flowers. And I don't want to do it every year. I want to have stuff that comes back every single year and I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't until, certainly not until I moved into this house and went, oh, look at all these beautiful things that just come up every year and I don't have to do anything, that I realized, oh, I can do this. And then I met you. And
like, when you're tolerant, when you're not looking for the beautiful flowers and you're not looking for a beautiful ornamental yard, annuals kind of are more beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
But all I want is some flowers that I can take in the house. Yeah. I don't even want them. I don't want them outside so people think my garden is beautiful. Yeah. I want some flowers on my table. That's really what I want.
Yeah, I know.
And I kind of want some flowers sort of all the time. Like, I want flowers as much through the summer as I can get.
Yeah.
There's a lot of perennial options.
Yeah.
You have many more than I do because I've got all shade.
Yes. I haven't really done the level of research that is inevitably going to happen. I think part of the reason why I've never liked annuals is because there were definitely a few things that my mom would plant every year. Like, I guess poppies and what are the little...
Pansies.
Pansies, maybe. Yeah. And they just always seemed so frail to me. And that pansies they would are just, frail. Yeah. That they would just, like, a big rainstorm and they'd just...
They're gone.
And I was like, why would you spend all this money and all this time to get things that just, like, beautiful they're there color. For a little bit and then they yeah. die and then that's it. So, yeah, I'm looking to do a lot of work now and then enjoy a very pretty yard
yeah.
for years to come.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We, after, it was probably maybe, like, the second summer mm-hmm. that I felt like I had done a lot of work on the garden and was just, like, waiting for it to come in. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how I discovered that we had a beetle problem.
Oof.
So what had happened was there were beetles in my yard mm-hmm. and I knew that from digging in the yard and I would see their grubs. So like this all mm-hmm. made sense in hindsight.
Yeah.
We had never treated the yard. So there were lots of beetles there. And I also knew because like flocks of birds, you would look out in the yard and there would be all the birds. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, they're eating all the beetles in the ground that are the grubs mm-hmm. that are going to turn into the beetles. And so what happened was they were eating. Like, so I had put in a couple new plants. The next morning, there would be like 50% of the leaves were gone. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, geez, by tomorrow, the plant will be gone.
Yeah.
And so for like maybe a month, mm-hmm. it would turn dusk. I would put on my headlamp. And I would go out and kill all the beetles.
That's hilarious.
It was hilarious. So, like, people would walk by and I would, like, hear a noise. So I would, like, pick my head up and, like, blind them with with headlamp and, like, a glass of water full of dead beetles.
So...
And I haven't had the problem again.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that year we treated the yard. I was like, okay, that's let's really do something. Make oh an effort goodness. Here.
It's like a really... dark, morbid version of a child going out to collect fireflies.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I was like, you're in too deep, Rachel. Like, just... But you feel, like, especially with perennials,
yeah.
you feel a need to protect them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that's what I also see with my daughter and the vegetable garden now is that, like, start to finish food piece. Mm-hmm. Completely agree with. And also some caretaking that, like, she really gets to take care of this yeah. stuff because there's nothing else in her life that she really gets to take care of.
Yeah.
I'm not getting her a pet right now.
No.
That's
no.
not a thing.
Yeah.
Take care of these strawberries.
Yes. Emma takes care of imaginary things. That is
that's all.
The extent of it.
And so I like this experience for her for mm-hmm. caretaking. And now that my garden is established, it does not need as much caretaking from me. Mm-hmm. But that was hard in the beginning was like making sure that the garden was taken care of because we travel a lot in the summer. Mm-hmm. And again, less so now with children. So that helps the garden. But when you put in the lilac bush, mm-hmm. it has to be watered all the time.
Yeah.
For at least the first year.
Yeah.
And now it's fine. I don't ever water that. Like, I never water that garden.
Yeah.
And so I like that. Do some work now and you can just enjoy it later.
Yeah.
And fill around however you like.
Yeah. My lilac produces a remarkable amount of offshoots.
Yeah.
And what I am thinking I may do, just because why not, is... Like, I've replanted them in a few other places yep. in the yard because, you know...
Why not?
Why not? What I'm thinking is maybe this year I will take a bunch of them out and I will plant them along the front. And
I don't see why not.
Just let them cover my house from all the people
who drive by my
house all the time. You know, it'll take years for them to mature enough to, like, really give me a screen. But start now.
It takes very little
yeah.
effort and commitment on your part. If you yes. really do transplant them,
yeah.
transplant them all at once.
Yes.
So 1 year mm-hmm. you're watering or you put out a hose.
Yeah.
If you do it slowly over time, it'll be a project that kills you.
Yeah.
But just like commit and do it yeah. this year or next year mm-hmm. to get them established. And then
they'll just go on their own. Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'll do that. That would be really easy.
Should set it back
yeah.
a couple a feet.
Bit. Yeah.
And do the sunflowers in the front,
mm-hmm.
and then have the row of
yeah.
lilacs.
Yeah, because the lilacs, they, and then, yeah, like they bloom now-ish.
Right.
And then they're just green.
And then they're green, and then the sunflowers will shoot up in front of them.
That's perfect.
I think you should do that.
Oh, it sounds magical.
And then you could be like your mom and put some little delicate annual. And
Emma picked out, I let her pick out three plants this year that are her plants that we put by the mailbox. And they're all, well, so they're pink, purple, and blue. There are three of them. And they're all really cute and little and tiny. And she helped me put them in, which was a horrifying adventure for me because I had my 3-year-old daughter who I can hardly contain right on the road with me trying to plant these. It's like the mailbox is right there and it's like all these trucks going by and it was like, stay on the grass.
I think if you guys stay in the house, you should get rid of your lawn out front.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should get rid of it.
Because you could do a lovely garden.
Yeah. Yep.
That's not like packed.
Yeah.
But you can like mulch it or have a path and have a little water elements.
Yeah.
Windmill or water wheel, whatever you want. But it would be really lovely.
Yeah,
I think so. It's not really that big of a space. I mean, it's big to do, but it would be really lovely.
Yeah, I think that the way to get there is that I covertly plant those lilacs.
Yeah.
And say, oh, look, now we have this nice screened area. We can, you know, pull all this stuff up. I would really like to put some fruit trees in the front. That is, like, really what I would like to do is have a fruit tree garden. An apple tree, pear tree, peach tree. Done. Lovely.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. So, I have Joe almost there. But I think that he needs a little bit more time with the idea. So, we'll see.
Well, see how this, like, every layer, you know, how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, my garden... It's just normal.
Yeah.
And it's not beautiful and it's not fancy. It's just nice and it makes everybody's life nicer. It makes my life nicer and makes my yard a nicer place to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think it's misleading to make anyone believe that my garden is lovely. It's just, I think it's better than the patch of dirt that was
Think that when I say lovely, it's a place that you want to spend time in and spend time with people in.
And you also don't feel bad that your children are walking through it.
Yes.
There are very few things that I'll correct your child for walking on.
Yep.
Maybe none right now.
Yeah.
Because I want my yard, like all the things in my life right now, to like work for my life. And my life is my children. Mm-hmm. And we like spending time in the yard with our children and our friends and their children. I like that my yard meets my kids where they're at right now.
Yeah, it's a giant play space.
Someday I might have a more beautiful yard.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's good enough.
Yeah.
And I think like so much of my life right now is about adjusting my, like compromise isn't even the right word. It's really just adjusting my life so that it pleases me and my children.
Mm-hmm.
And before, I did not want all these things in my yard, in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I did spend a lot of time outside and that was nice. And now I have a bunch of plastic stuff and a playhouse and a water table and a lot of dirt. And that's really nice for right now.
Yeah.
And I came home from work today and the kids were out there and we just like sat and the children played and got dirty and just were out of our hair and they were having fun and we were having fun and relaxing. And like, that's just where I am in my life. That's just where I want to be. And I don't want anything fancy. I don't want anything complicated. And I love talking to people. I mean, we talk about that a lot, but I love talking to people about being realistic for where you are in your life and what you want and what you need. Because things that made you happy before might not make you happy right now, but you might still want that because it's a habit.
Yeah.
And you feel like you want that, but you don't really want that now. I don't really want to travel right now with my children.
Yeah.
I love to travel. I will love to travel again. I will travel again with my children and I will travel again without my children.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't want to travel right now with them and that's okay. And that my life right now just looks different than it will in the future and then it has in the past. And I think that people have a hard time adjusting to being parents when they try to maintain their life the same as it was.
I loved this conversation with Rachel. Like many such chats, it started off being about a project or craft, but ended up giving me some more serious things to consider. What sort of childhood do I want to provide to my children? How can I provide them with opportunities to connect with the world around them, especially in their own backyard? Am I setting realistic expectations for myself and what my life looks like today? My own garden has certainly improved since I met Rachel,
and the origins of the plants in it now extend far beyond our local garden center. I love that my garden has become its own collection of stories that I can tell my children as they grow up surrounded by it. And now I'd like to tell you about something I made this week. I made an old wicker patio set look brand new. Last summer, someone had put out a set of wicker furniture on the road near my house. It wasn't in great shape, but I was looking for furniture to put out on my porch, and I couldn't argue with the price. I've never restored a piece of furniture before, so a few weeks ago, I began researching wicker restoration. I bought new rattan to replace the pieces that had fallen off or been damaged. I washed and declossed all the pieces, repaired the various areas that needed mending, and put on a new coat of bright seafoam spray paint. I absolutely love the result, and I'm glad to be able to say that I've restored a wicker furniture set. Before I wrap up, I have one last thing to share about the show. In a few months, it will be a year since I began making this podcast, and I've decided to move into a season format. So the next episode, which will air in 2 weeks, will be the final episode of season one. Then I'll be taking off a few months to line up guests, record some new episodes, and enjoy the summer months. Then I'll be back with season two in the fall. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you to Rachel for being on for a third time and cementing herself as a real fan favorite in the process. Find show notes and other extras over at htmamcast.com. How to Make a Memory also has a page on Facebook. The show's Twitter handle is How to Make a Memory with the number 2, and on Instagram at How to Make a Memory. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider heading over to iTunes to rate, review, and subscribe. How to Make a Memory is a member of the Geekend Legion podcast network. Our logo is by Becky Carpenter. Our music is by Chuck Salamone. We get system admin support from Greg Thole. Now, go make something for someone you love.